So look at verse 6, what happens. It says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. In other words, they failed the spiritual test. The Pharisees couldn't hear the shepherd. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, unbelievers don't accept the things of the Spirit. Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So look where Jesus goes. He's going to again reiterate his point in verse 7 and 8. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. So notice, he's repeating the concept. Again, I'm saying this to you. I am the door. Jesus is claiming to be the exclusive, only way for the nation of Israel to be saved is through Jesus, through the promise of the Redeemer. But you might wonder, well, we're talking a lot about the Jewish people. What about Gentiles? What about non-Jews? What does that look like? Well, you have to look at John 10:16. Listen to this. We're talking about Israel being the sheep pen. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. So it's the same thing. The Israelites are in the sheep pen. The Gentiles are also going to be saved through what Jesus did, because it's to all nations. So in John chapter 10, you have this amazing theological truth. I don't know. I don't know if you can tell that I'm excited about it, but I am. Because it's so powerful to know that God is in control. That we can trust him. That he knows that not one of his sheep is going to wander and fall away. He may wander a little bit, but in the end he will be saved because he's his sheep. When he says, all who came before me, he can't mean past prophets, because he says, because notice the present tense. He says this, all who came before me are thieves. He didn't say were thieves and robbers. He says are thieves. So he's talking again about the Pharisees, the religious leaders that are misleading people. Look at verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. See, if anyone enters by me, how do you enter? Well, the Pharisees would say it's about morals, moralism, thinking that their good behavior would merit eternal life. Like, I deserve eternal life because I achieved, I did this, I did that. But moralism can never replace the gospel of Jesus. We can't save ourselves. No matter how many times we go to church, or we're in a Bible study, or we're doing a mission trip, or reading the Bible, it's not the good works that save us. Remember, we're saved, and out of that, we overflow with thanksgiving. We don't do those things to be saved. We do those things out of a love for God, for what he's done for us. I loved the baptism testimonies. If you missed it last week, I'm hoping that we can share them in some way, shape, or form at some point. But we had a number of individuals share. They were baptized last week. It was a great time at the lake. Beautiful thing to see people take their steps in their relationship with the Lord. And by the way, you don't have to wait till you're baptized to put a video together like that. If you'd like to share your testimony, how God has rescued you, we would love to put something together for you to be able to share that with the congregation. Even if you've already been baptized or baptized a while ago, it doesn't matter. Share your story, and it was so incredible. One of the testimonies, I think it was Harmony's, She quoted from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, right? I think that's what she quoted from. And that says this, for by grace you are saved, through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast and say that I did this. This is all what God has done. And so I think what we can also recognize is closely related to this idea of moralism, doing all the right things, this idea of legalism, we do things in order to earn favor with God or brownie points with God. That's a false teaching. People are out there saying, if I read my Bible every day, then maybe I'll get the car that I want. Or if I pray three times a day, then maybe this relationship will get better. It's like we kind of make deals with God. And we get into this dangerous cycle of thinking that we're the ones that kind of call the shots, instead of God being the one that's in control, and that we're trusting him. We're clinging to him. Moreover, that he's holding us. Because we do good works. But again, that's out of the overflow of how God has worked in our lives. See, none of us obey God at the standard required for his blessing. None of us do. We all fall short. We are all sinners. But that's the beautiful thing, that God has finished the work. You may or may not know Hudson Taylor, but Hudson Taylor was the founder of China Inland Mission. God worked in his life in such a powerful way. One of my favorite books is Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. I would strongly encourage you to get a copy of it. It is a powerful story of his life and how it was changed by Christ. And I will tell you that when he was 17 years old, his mom was praying for him. His mom was praying that he would have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And while his mom was away praying for him at that very moment, Hudson Taylor opened a pamphlet that he received that said, "The Finished Work of Christ." He read that, and that changed everything. He says in his book, if the whole work is finished, the whole debt is paid, then what is left for me to do? And he came to the conclusion that there was nothing in the world for me to do, save or accept, to fall upon my knees and accepting this Savior and this salvation to praise him forevermore. To fall on your knees in worship and obedience because he rescued you, not because of the things you did, but because of what he did by sending his son. So notice, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. There's no question. And then what does it say? He will go in and out and find pasture. And this, I must have read this verse. I don't know how many times I've read this verse. But this part of the verse jumped out at me. In and out and find pasture. That sounds refreshing. That doesn't sound like a Christianity that just goes through the motions. Week to week, you go to church because that's what you do. You listen to a couple sermons. You listen to some Christian music. It's what you do. But going in and out and finding pasture through Jesus, he's the door. That's refreshing. Because it's not about me or you or what we do. It's about what Christ has done for us. That whether you're in the sheep pen or you're out in the pasture, he's watching over you. He cares for you. And when you're out and about, that's freedom that we have in Christ to find pasture, to be nourished. I mean, David said in Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you tasted and seen the Lord has been good this past week? Have you been nourished on the word of God this past week? Because his word teaches us these things. Think about Romans 8. talking about the love of Christ, I think we have this verse. What a powerful passage. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can. So whatever it is that you're facing, nothing can separate you from God's love in Christ. If you are his child, nothing. We need to build our lives on his love. There's a devotional I found from Charles Spurgeon, and he said this, and he uses the word meditate, and when you talk about meditate, that's really focusing on what the Word of God says, remembering the Word of God and meditating on that Word. He says, meditate a little on the steadfast love of the Lord. It is a tender love with gentle, loving touch. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. There is nothing little in God. His steadfast love is like himself. It is infinite. So there is no limit to the Lord. And to be able to get nourished from him, from his word. Finally, the last verse, John 10:10, which many people know and quote. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, behind these false shepherds is a thief. And this is probably a reference to Satan, the father of lies. And I think we can probably all agree that Satan's influence has invaded every area of our culture, and even in the church. The church faces enormous pressure to shift their teaching, the cultural message, because Satan is so crafty, is to be tolerant, to be accepting of all, to celebrate diversity, even if it goes against what God's word says. I'm telling you, Satan is crafty. And the church, feeling that pressure, seems to be more worried, I found this phrase, more worried about tone than truth. See, as believers, we have to realize that the subject of false teaching is one of the most emphasized in the entire New Testament. See, there are thieves and robbers that might appear as outwardly religious, but have sinful motives. They don't care about the sheep. So we have to wonder and question, how do I identify and avoid false teachers? And we'll talk more specifically about this next week. But I will say this, that we need to be a Berean. You might not know what that means. We need to be a Berean. Because in Acts 17, remember when Paul was in Berea? His people listened to him and they examined the scriptures. I think we have it. Acts 17:11. Do we have that verse or not? I don't know. Maybe not. I got to go there. Acts 17:11. And you can jot this down if you want to. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Each received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So what we have is we have the Apostle Paul going to the church and teaching, and these Bereans are saying, is it true? Well, let's find out. Let's look at what the scripture says. That's what you and I need to be. Students of the word. Being Bereans. Interpreting scripture with scripture. And the problem is, many believers, they're not willing to go there. And they may rely on other people to teach them instead of going to the word themselves. Next week, we'll talk more about the Good Shepherd and what it means to be a shepherd and to care for the flock and to look for and understand that there are teachings out there that go against the Word of God. But we will close this morning with the last part where it says, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. And I came across a quote that I wanted to share with you from A.W. Tozier, who said this. He said, what I am anxious to see in Christian believers is a beautiful paradox. I want to see in them the joy of finding God while at the same time they are blessedly pursuing Him. I want to see in them the great joy of having God, yet always wanting Him. You see, life abundantly involves finding pasture in God's Word. God's Word doesn't promise a long life. It doesn't promise an easy life. It doesn't promise a comfortable life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, He's not promising to meet our material needs. He's promising to meet all of our spiritual needs if we enter Him the door. And He did that by sending Jesus, the bread of life, the light of the world, and the door. We find pasture in a relationship with Him through His Word. So rest in Him. Give your anxieties to Him. Continue to pursue the spiritual nourishment by grazing in the pastures of God's Word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You and praise You. Lord, we thank You for Your work in our lives. And Lord, we're thankful that there's no accidents with You, that You're in control, and that we can trust You. And even as this passage continues, that You are the Good Shepherd. And we look forward, Lord, to learning more and more about You, to grazing in Your pastures, because many of us, Lord, are tired. We're tired from going through the motions and going through the things in our culture, the rat race it seems like it is, to get ahead. And we just pray that we would rest in You, that we would be content in You, that we would give all our anxieties to You. And we know, Lord, that You are there to protect us. And we're thankful, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, which each believer has been given. Lord, that we can walk with You each day and know You more, and be led into all truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.